I know that a lot of people, you know, when people do talk about doing practices, they get, you know, like my, when I went to see the Dalai Lama last time, I was doing a practice, and it's got all kinds of, like, all these details about, you know, you have to do this, you have to do this, you got to offer this way, all this stuff, you know, and every day has to be done this time, and all this stuff, you know, and I walked in and sat down, and I said, you know, Your Holiness, how should I do this practice? And he said, first of all, he said, don't worry too much about all this stuff. That's the first thing he said to me, you know. He said, I mean, you know, he said, it's great if you can do it, if you can't. He said, don't worry. He said, the thing that matters is your mind, right? What are you doing this for? You're doing it because you got to change your mind, right? So the most important parts of this are the parts that you work on your mind practice. So it doesn't matter that you don't do everything absolutely perfectly, every physical movement, every mudra, every, you know, that you get everything to look, you know, it's... He said, that's not what's important. He said, the mantras in this practice. He said, the mantras are important. Do them when you're resting, you know. What's important is that you do this bit of this practice, and this is where you pour all your energy into it, and it's all about your mind. It's all about doing something with your mind. So I know I've heard, I mean, I haven't been told this personally. I mean, I've never heard people personally say this, but I've heard from a lot of practitioners, people start telling them how to do some of this stuff, and I mean, you know, I mean, the celestial beings could never do it the way they're being told to do it, you know. If they don't do it exactly this way, you have to start it all over, and if you don't exactly have this thing on the altar, then you can't do it, and all this stuff. And for me, that's just, from what His Holiness told me, that's not what's at stake here. You do the best you can with the others, with the stuff, but the main thing you focus on is the mind training in whatever practice you're doing. So if you're doing frustrations, you know, and you can't do 7 million gurus in front of you, you know, you're not able to, like, manifest the entire Gelug tree of, you know, guys, and they aren't, I mean, how can they anyway? I mean, look at them, they all look the same in the pictures, right? So what I do is, like, what I did was the people, you know, I could get the ones that really matter, you know, I get a real strong sense of something that really matters, that I can really feel that's really there, right? My root gurus, or Tsongkhapa, and his two disciples, and a few other people that I really feel some connection with, you know. Them, they're there, and then I just try to keep that going. But, you know, then somebody told me, oh, you didn't really do them because you didn't have the entire refuge tree below me. You know, I did my frustrations, and I took refuge, you know, I did all those things. It isn't got to be like the book, and it probably won't be like the book. Try doing 100,000 like the book. If you had to do every one of your 100,000 frustrations like they say in the book, you'll be doing your 100,000 frustrations until you're dead. You will. I mean, you'll be doing maybe two a day. The other time the door slams, there goes the refuge tree, you know? I mean, it's like, it's too hot, the refuge tree's half there. It's too cold, the refuge tree disappears again, you know? The bottom of the tree's gone, oops, the left side went. You know, Tsongkhapa's not there, I have to start over again. I mean, you're going to be doing the thing forever. You do what you can do. I mean, that's not what it's all about. It's not about all the stuff. It's about the mind. So you need to, I think we as Western practitioners really have to start thinking about, when we're doing it, what's effective. Ask our teachers, you know, what is the most important thing about this? What is it that really matters? Does it matter I have 14 sets of water bowls out or what? You know, or what are the water bowls there for? Tell me, you know, so I can understand. So that everything there means something, so that when we're doing it, it's meaningful. The whole thing is meaningful for us. And if it's not, then what's the good of doing it? I mean, what's the point? I mean, it might be these Tibetans, they know a lot more about all this ritual than we do, right? So for them, maybe it is really meaningful to put everything out. But for a lot of us, it's just like we're just imitating. We're just like a bunch of imitators. We put all the bowls out, and it's the way it's supposed to be, but we have no idea why we're doing it. It doesn't mean anything to us. We try to, like, say, oh, you know, it's like devotion or something. You know, but we don't have any sense of what that is. And then what good is that for our mind? I mean, our mind is what we have to change. Unfortunately, we didn't get a Tibetan mind. We got born in the West. This time around, we've got a Western mind. So I always insist on having something that means something to me. And if in one day I can't get, like, 7 lamas up there, I can only get 1 or a half, then that's going to have to do it. You know? There are certain things that I can always bow down to, and there are those things I can always go for refuge to, and always, because I'm absolutely convinced in my heart, you know. But there's a lot of it that's kind of vague to me. Who are these people? I don't know who these people are, you know. I'm very grateful they practice, because it's why I got the lineage. That's, you know, but I don't have any real personal sense. Nobody taught me about them. I didn't study them in school. I know a lot of people really get worried and they just stop practicing because they just don't think they're doing it right. And they get so tied up in the stuff that they just quit. I mean, you just quit after a point because you can't. I know a person who hasn't done a fire puja because they can't get the fire puja, because they're in a place where they can't get the fire puja to be a perfect fire puja. So in other words, they've done a retreat in which they can't finish a retreat. Terrible. Really bad. You don't want to do that. You know, it's a horrible thing to be hanging out with an incomplete retreat with a deity that hasn't been taken care of. You know, I mean, with this. I mean, if you're doing it like, say, on Yamantaka, and the energy is the anger energy, right? And you've been using anger against anger itself as this deity, and then you hang out there with an unresolved, unfinished retreat. This is not a really good way to hang out. Things can happen, but it's because it isn't perfect, you know, they can't do it the right way. So what it is telling us to tell you, Mama, is that he said, just burn something. That's what he told me. He said, just burn something, read the thing. He said, you know, if you've got some rice or something, throw it in. And I'm sitting there reading this thing and saying, get these sticks polished, wash them all off, cut them into the size, you know, and he's saying, just get a fire and throw things in for it. I like him. I really like him. I said, you know, it doesn't mean be careless. It means if you can't, aren't in a position where you can have all that stuff, then you do the best you can, and you do what you can do, and don't then take any, you know, don't do anything stupid or thoughtless. Do the best. I mean, I did the best I could. I wasn't with anybody.
How do you know you're not losing merit? Like, because you're not fully aware, not known, you don't know how. Like, when you're first starting out, you don't know if you're doing it right, and you might be doing something dangerous or losing merit or...
My basic feeling is that if your mind is, I don't believe that you can actually lose merit without a mind that is turning against you. I mean, I believe that if your mind is directed in the right way, that you've done the best you can do, that you have a sense of confidence, I'm doing the best I can, right? You don't do it with this kind of sort of, oh, maybe I'm doing it wrong. No, when I do this practice, I'm going to do the best job that I can do. I'm going to do it with the intention to do it right, to get the effects of this, to do it sincerely, then I don't believe that you can lose merit. I believe that one loses merit by having a mind that creates non-merit, that is a mind that does it, you know, in this kind of sense, hey, I got to do 100,000 prostrations, so I'm going to do them as fast as I can and not think about anything, and it's going to be like an extreme exercise program for a month, right? I'm just going to throw myself on the ground and do all these things, and when I'm done, I'm going to say, hey, I did 100,000, right? I'm just going to do it as fast as I can to get it done with. You're not doing it because you know it has something to do with your mind, that it's going to stabilize your practice, that you have no understanding of it at all. You're just doing it to get it done. Now, that's not a virtuous, I don't believe that's a meritorious way to do prostrations. You don't do prostrations because you need exercises. I mean, prostration is not about exercise. If you need exercise, go to the gym. If you're going to do prostrations, then it's about something incredibly difficult. It's not an easy thing. It's hard to do prostrations in the way you need to do prostrations. It's got everything to do with your mind and its purpose. Yeah, I don't think we have to be like too superstitious or anything, or worry too much about, you know. We should always watch our mind and make sure that we're not. And even when we're doing practices, my teacher in Dharadan said, if you're doing a practice during the day and your mind gets an unvirtuous aspect to it while you're doing the practice, then just don't dedicate it at the end of the day, right? So when you get done with the practice, don't dedicate it, because you don't want to dedicate a bad, you know, if you got angry during your practice, don't dedicate the practice at the end of the practice. Finish the practice, do the whole practice, finish it off, but just don't dedicate it at the end, because you don't want to dedicate a non-virtuous mind. It doesn't mean that you should just not do the practice because your mind, you're stopped or something. He said, no, just don't he said that, right? Mm-hmm. He said, just don't dedicate it. He said it to me many times. So he said that when I was doing frustrations, I did frustrations again last summer. I was doing 100,000 frustrations, 120 degrees, you know. It was real, and I had this tiny little room. And there were some times that I did not have a virtuous mind. There were times. And he just said, when that happens, just don't dedicate those steps. Or if you like, you're in the middle of it, and it gets unvirtuous, and then complete it or something. Or if you're doing something where you're doing a whole bunch of things, the same thing, like frustrations or something, then maybe you might end the session and then start it again when you feel like your mind calms down or something. To do that, so don't dedicate the session where it was like really unstable or negative, and then just maybe stop, take a break for a while, and then, or if you're doing a practice where you're in the middle, you need to finish, then finish it, but just don't dedicate it at the end. So don't. It's, you know, we cannot not. It's impossible for us to immediately not have have perfect minds and perfect, right? I mean, we make mistakes, and so we have to be reasonable with ourselves. But I don't have like this magic idea about merit. I think merit's tied to everything. All these things are tied to the mind, right? So if it's not a meritorious thing, it has to have something to do with the mind. So if it's just the fact that I don't know anything about it, how could I do something? I mean, if in fact it were just the case in my Dharma practice that somebody didn't, for example, my robes, you know, I can't step into my robes, I have to put my robes over my head. But when I first got ordained, nobody told me that. You know, they have this thing, you don't step over sacred objects, right? Well, it happens to be that when I'm ordained, my robes turn into sacred objects. I don't have that attitude towards my clothing. So I just stepped into my clothes. And so then when somebody came, one of the monks who was with me said, you can't step into them, you got to put them over your head. But I didn't know before that I couldn't step into them, so there was no real sense in which I could have created a non-virtue. Now I could, because I understand that I need to put them over my head. Because now I'd have a mind state that would say, you're not really supposed to do that. I'm just too lazy today to put them over my head, you know. So that's how I think. I think about it. I mean, it's not true about the fundamental ignorance. We actually have a fundamental level of ignorance upon which all these meritorious and non-meritorious things are based that is not conscious, not something we know about. But in terms of what is good and bad, that's built on this unconscious thing. Those are conscious things. So they have to do with conscious. I think they have to do more with conscious and conscious states of mind. So I think if our intention is to behave in a virtuous way and we do the best of our ability to follow that intention, then what we're doing is virtuous, even if we don't understand fully. But then it's also up to us to be critical and to think well and try to go find out what we need to do, right? I mean, if you aren't sure about something, then go ask somebody. And if there's nobody there, then just say, well, Buddha, this is how I understand it, and I'll try to do this with that. That's what I do. I just, you know, I just say to my Yidam, well, this is how I understand it. I mean, to my best of my ability, this is how I'm going to do it. If it's wrong, please forgive this. You know, this is not... You know, in our practices, we very often have parts of our practices that even have a little thing in it at the end of the practice. There are many practices that have this. If I made a mistake because I didn't have the right materials, that I lacked understanding, and that I couldn't do the right ways of behaving in it, please forgive this. So we just do that when we're doing a practice. We need to be sort of sensible. And I would really urge us not to be just imitators. I would really urge people, for all of us, to be very careful to not just do things that look like the way it's supposed to be, but to actually make some effort at understanding it well enough to be able to do what we do, whatever we do, that we do it with some level of understanding and not with just knowing how to look like a Buddhist, what we think a Buddhist looks like, or fit like a Buddhist, or, you know, or... dress like a Buddhist or whatever. I think we should make some really concerted effort if we're really serious. And I mean, why would you be hanging out in the Vihara if you weren't serious, right? I mean, if you're really serious and you know you're coming to these things and you're really serious, then make a real serious effort to start examining what it is to follow the Buddhist path and stop imitating what it looks like and start doing it. I mean, really make some effort in that direction. I think we owe it to ourselves to do that. which is really, I see a lot of people sort of walking around, you know, kind of trying to look like an Indian or a Tibetan or something, you know, and it's just looking like it isn't it. We can look just like us. We can do it, you know. Not like this, but like you guys, you know, you can look exactly like that. We don't have to walk around with malas on our wrists and pose this color, you know. It's not required. It doesn't do anything to your mind.